The epistle for the second Sunday of Lent is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all of these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 17. At that time Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as yet he was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And the disciples hearing fell upon their face, and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Please be seated. We are called unto sanctification. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On the second Sunday of Lent, there's two lessons for us to find in the Gospel accounts. It is the transfiguration of our Lord that he took Peter, James, and John, the same ones that would come with him to the agony in the garden. And so from that, we understand that we will only gain heaven, in a sense, if we deserve it, if we work toward that, if we work toward that goal. And then the second lesson that we can gain from this is that we'll never find true happiness in this world, outside of obviously serving Almighty God. That the temporal happiness that we find is something that is fleeting. And so these are the two lessons that we can gain from this account. That the truth is that we can only gain the heavenly glory with work, with toil and labor, working toward that. And it's something that we can understand from the gospel accounts. Many of the spiritual authors talk about the journey that had to take place in order for these three apostles of our Lord and our Lord to make it up to the top of Mount Tabor. But it was something that was hard work to try to get to. And so when they arrive up at the top of the mountain, then you have where then our Lord appears to them, shining in his glory. And that is even where at that point, then yes, they are frightened by that, because Moses and Elias are there. But you see where St. Peter says, you know, if you want, we can build three tabernacles. It's good for us to be here, and we can build these three tabernacles. And so again, some of the spiritual authors remark and comment on the fact of that our Lord did not grant that request, and that immediately after that, that Moses and Elias disappeared. So in some ways, it was our Lord showing to them a glimpse of the heavenly glory that is to come. But then after that, then our Lord leads them down again. Leads them down the mountain for another long journey, helping them to understand that in order to get to heaven, it is going to take a lot of hard work and toil. The difficulties and the struggles that we have. And so he gives them that glimpse of heaven. He gives them that idea of this is what heaven will be like. As our Lord shined in all his glory to them, but that it was fleeting, it was very quick for them. And then it goes back to reality. The hardness and the difficulties and the toils of this world. The reminder that we must, in order to receive the reward, we must fight, we must toil toward that. But it's not just, in a sense, going to be handed to us. Because without work, there is no reward. So that's why it's said that we can only enjoy the honors of victory after bravely facing the hardships of battle. That is the only way that we will gain then. The glory is if we undergo, then in a sense, the cross. And so that is why then our Lord showed to the apostles, shows to us, yes, this is the glory that is to come, but this is how we must try to reach that glory, what we must try to do to try to gain that. And so that is the understanding of the trials and the difficulties, the hardship that we must undergo. That's our Lord even tells us, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so there cannot be an idleness. If we want to save our soul, we cannot be idle. We must work toward that. We must battle every day of our life. And so that is what then our Lord tried to explain and to show to his apostles. And also there was a lesson for them because of what they would then witness in his agony, that they would not be scandalized, that he showed to them first the glory that he has, but then also, yes, the agony that he would undergo. But for the apostles, for them to learn that lesson, that it is a hardship. And so as I say, then this second lesson comes to us that there is no everlasting happiness in this world. The temporal happiness that we have is something that is only fleeting. And again, going back to St. Peter and trying to exclaim to our Lord how good it is for us to be here, to build the tabernacles, and how quickly that our Lord shows to him that it will not be fulfilled, that they must descend and go back down. That sometimes the happiness that we have may be of short duration. It is a means for us to realize that we're not caught in this world. This is not our end. That we are reaching for something that is higher. That is where the true happiness, true glory will come for us. All we have to think about is our Lady's words to St. Bernadette. I do not promise you happiness in this life. But again, it doesn't mean then we have to be dismal and doom and gloom. I mean, certainly not, but we have to realize that this temporal happiness that we may find in this life is something that is short-lived. And it is not our end that we are searching for. But it is something that is much greater than that. And St. Paul wrote to the Hebrews, "For we have not here a lasting city, but we seek one that is to come." In helping the Hebrews to understand that this is not our lasting city. We are searching for one, yes. We are seeking one that will be lasting, but it's not in this life. And that is something that we also can just easily see, materially speaking, even in this world. The wealth, the honors that we may have, they can be fleeting for a time. They fail at other times. Our good health can also be something that we end up having sickness. And so everything in this world is perishable. And so that's where it's helpful for us to think about, to meditate in this time period of Lent. That nothing is lasting. The only thing that we can be sure of is our death. That nothing is lasting in this life. And so, yes, very clearly, our death is to come. And so in the time period of Lent, it is good for us to think about that, to consider the state of our soul. If God were to call us now, and that is why it's so foolish for people to give their attention to only the temporal things of this life. I mean, yes, we have to live in this world. We have to utilize the things of this world very clearly. But we cannot make that our end. We are called to something much higher. And so that is where then we can understand that we must direct our gaze to the only place where the true happiness lies. And that's where our Lord then gives us this taste of that. With his transfiguration, helping us to see that, helping us to understand that. And as I say, in years past, and also to realize that the church gives us this encouragement in just the second week of Lent. We still have another 4 weeks to go, but it tries to show to us and hold out to us, this is our goal. This is where we're meant to be. And so now to utilize the things of this world in order to get to that goal, to gain that thing, which is heaven for us. And so St. Paul, again in Corinthians, he tells us, you know, eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for us. I mean, that's truly, we have no idea what heaven will be like for us. We just realize we need to go there. We need to work and to spend our life toward that goal. And so that is for us the purpose of this time period, to direct our thoughts to something that is higher. That is why we will sacrifice, that is why we will mortify, we will cut off ourselves from certain things to help us to direct our eyes toward that goal and to realize that is the whole purpose of our life. And so, yes, these two small lessons that we can learn from the gospel account, it is something that is very important for us to realize and to see. And to understand through the gospel and through the accounts that our Lord gives to us of how often he speaks of these things, of what we must be trying to gain. As I say, deny yourself, take up your cross, come follow me. One that does not take up his cross is not worthy to follow me. Again, our Lord says in Matthew chapter 10. And so let us meditate upon these things. As I say, yes, the church utilizes this as an encouragement for us so early in Lent, to try to help us with our resolutions, to help us to see the purpose behind them, but then also the true purpose of our life. So I'll leave you with the words of our Lord when he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and the rest will be given to you." In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.